First, I'm glad that we're able to resume our Chaburus Yeshivat Tzadik, the Shirim Darche Noam, Lezei Chanishimus Avinoam Rachmani, and to thank the Rachmani family, as always, for all that they've been doing to keep the Shia going. And I hope you're mindful that I'm wearing my robe. I didn't feel like going downstairs to get my rabbinical coat. I guess I'm getting a little bit lazy. But I feel like I'm inviting you into the home, into my house. We can't be together, so I feel more comfortable this way. I saw something on Shabbos in the Sefer that I felt that Hashem was telling me to begin the Nuzman by sharing this with you. So let me just share with you this little story, because this is what we're doing. This is what we're learning. And with this, we'll be able to pick up and to begin the Nuzman. And Mir Hashem, soon we'll be able to learn together in person. I saw in the Sefer that there was a bocher in Eretz Yisrael, that had come from a very Haredi family, a very frum family, and he went mamish away from everything into the depths of the Tahoma Rabba. We're learning about that Tahoma Rabba, that unbelievable darkness of the other side, the Tahoma Rabba from creation. This Jew, this Bocher, this young man went to every possible aver he could think of, and new ones that he hadn't thought of, that people told him about in that new world that he was in. And the person who wrote this was an old friend of his who was reaching out to him after some years, And he was a little bit surprised. The friend was surprised that this Bocher agreed to meet with him. And they met. And they're talking for a while. And the friend was able to convince the Bocher to come with him and meet with a certain tzaddik. It doesn't say in the Sefer the name of the tzaddik. I wish it would say. This is a Sefer that came out a year or two ago. It doesn't say the name of who this tzaddik was. It's chaval. But I want to share with you what took place at that meeting. Was the friend was there, and he wrote down exactly what happened at the meeting with this tzaddik. They walked in to this great tzaddik, and this bocher who was in the Tahoma Rabba, who was in the darkest place. Now, he was somebody that learned in the yeshivas, so he knew stuff. And he said to the tzaddik, he said, Rebbe, I'm just reading to you from the Sefer. He said, Rebbe, al testakel alai. Rebbe, don't look at me. Don't look at my face. Because it says, Chazal taught us, osel estakel b'fnei odom rasha, that it's forbidden to look at the face of a rasha. You hear what kind of rasha we're talking about already, that's quoting from Chazal. And he's telling the tzaddik, don't look at my face. Don't look at me. And when the tzaddik heard that, and he saw this, what was happening, the tzaddik did for a few moments, the tzaddik put his head on the side and turned his eyes down. And then the tzaddik picked his head back up and looked at the bocher, but didn't just look at him. He leaned forward and he stared at him deeply into his eyes. In other words, he took a second look. Right away when the bocher came in, the tzaddik put his eyes down for a little bit. And now he took a second look. And he looked at this bacher deep into the eyes, and he didn't take his eyes off of the bacher's eyes. And he was staring at him. And then he said to the bacher, do you want me to tell you what I see looking into your eyes? I don't see a Rasha. Ani roya shchina shruya alecha. I see the shchina, the divine presence of Hashem upon you. Ani roya shchina shruya alecha. Now this bacher didn't know whether to laugh or to cry, knowing the filth that he was in for a long time. And he just had this look on his face, like, you know, no Rabbi Bemet, you know, come on. Like, you're playing with me? What are you talking about? And the tzaddik saw that the bacher was not taking him seriously. And the tzaddik, not taking his eyes off of the kid, the tzaddik asked him, "Kama shanim atamet moded mayetzahar? How many years are you fighting with the Yetzer? How many years?" So the bacher said, "Eser shanim, 10 years. 13, I first fell in a terrible way. When I was 13, I first fell in a terrible way. And now I'm 23. So I'm in this for 10 years. And the tzaddik asked him, "Va'ata nilcham midei pa'am? Do you sometimes still engage in battle? Do you sometimes still fight against the Yetzer Hara? Va'ata nilcham midei pa'am?" And the bacher said, "Ani nilcham midei pa'am. I do fight sometimes. Ani menaseh drachim kedei la'alot. I try different ways to get out of the mess I'm in. Avel ani lo masliach. Kasheh li ma'od ma'od. But I'm not successful. It's very, very hard for me. Kasheh li ma'od ma'od." Then the tzaddik was very emotional. And he lifted up his voice and he said the following thing. This is what he said to the bacher. "Odom shenilcham leman habari eser shanim. You're a person who is fighting for the sake of the Creator for 10 years. Lu hayita yodea ma pa'alta betoch kochot hara. This is what we're learning. This is the sugya we're learning. If you only knew what you were poil during these 10 years of your fighting, if you only knew what you were poil, what you were accomplishing, in that world of the tahay merabba, of the tahom, of the depths, if you only knew what you're accomplishing with these milchamas that you're fighting, then you would see upon yourself and you would believe what I see in you at this moment," that tzaddik said, "which is the shechina all over you. I see the shechina upon you." The bacher didn't know what to say, and the Rebbe asked for his phone number. And a few nights later, says it was like 3 a.m. I guess that by the tzaddik was living with his own time. The tzaddik called up the bacher, and he asked the bacher. He said, "It's an eis ratzon. Could you give me a brach?" At the end of the story, as is written here, that the friend told. So the bacher kept up with the tzaddik, and he's back on the program, in a much better way. So the tzaddik took a second look at this boy, at a 23-year-old. It wasn't a kid. The tzaddik took a second look. The first look he saw the face of a rasha. Because the tzaddik saw that first glance, the tzaddik saw in a split second the tumah, the unbelievable dirt that this young man had spent the last 10 years of his life swimming in. And the tzaddik couldn't look. He turned away. But here's where the difference comes between regular people and the tzaddik. So regular people look away. They may not have to turn away, but they go away, shaking their heads. Giving up, or hoping that some tzaddik will be makarv this kid at some point along the way. But the tzaddik takes a second look. That's all we're talking about, just trying to take a second look. That's all that I've been talking about for these past 27 to 28 years. At ourselves, to take a second look at others. Have you know, before we do the Ramchal, I just felt like saying it this today. Today is Teferis Shebegvura. It's the 10th day of the Aymer. It's Teferis Shebegvura. There are many, many meanings to this midah of Teferis Shebegvura. Teferis is beauty. Gvur is strength. Tiferes shebegvur. One meaning that we're talking, the one that we're talking about now, to understand our generation. One meaning of this midah of Tiferes shebegvur is to be able to take a second look at these kids, and even at ourselves, to take a second look and to see the beauty in the gevura, in the strength of those who are struggling to be mezgaber, to see the beauty in the fight, in the struggle, in the gevura. It's always a question in every culture. It's always a question of how to identify the giborim that are around us. How do you identify the heroic people in your life? Who's the hero? Our wife told me the other day that she had read a book years ago. There was somebody who wrote a book interviewing all different people about who are your heroes? How do we identify a hero? What's a hero? In other words, mi hu hagibur hayafeh. A hero is a person who we admire. A hero is somebody who we look at with teferis. We see the beauty of our heroes. We admire our heroes. Today's teferis shebegavur. So who is the beautiful hero in your life? That's the question today. To Teferes Shebegvura, the question is, who is the beautiful hero in your life? Now, there's no question that we look up to the tzaddikim. See, you might see behind me, there's a picture that an amazing photograph that someone who I love gave to me years ago that I look at many times a day. It's the Klausenberger Rebbe Schussi Elena crying over, I don't know what, some Tehillim or Siddur, whatever he's doing. Klausenberger Rebbe has been my hero for many, many years. Schussi Elena. Gibor, a hero mamish. Such beauty to that tzaddik, the Klausenberger Rebbe. And we see the beauty in the tzaddik. Western culture, if you try to understand in Western culture, Teferis Shebegavur, who's your beautiful hero? Where do you see? In whom do you see beauty? In Western culture, the lower part of that world sees it in celebrities and athletes, so on and so forth. I don't have to go on with that. And those are the people who they look up to, they admire. Those are the Giborim Hayafim. The higher end of Western culture and civilization admires and looks up to thinkers, creative people who have contributed to society, heroic people, like now, doctors, nurses, even simple people who are working in hospitals and in nursing homes, maintenance people. I'm not joking. You know what I'm talking about. Giborim Yafim. Giborim Yafim. Beautiful Giborim, who are making sacrifices and risking their own health to help other people. There are all kinds of Giborim Yafim in Western culture, from the highest to the lowest. The Gibor Yafeh, the beautiful Gibor that we're talking about now, the sugi that we're learning about in the Ramchal, and the Kisvei Ari, is the one that this tzaddik in the story that I just shared with you saw that day, who walked in. But the tzaddik took a second look and he was able to see past all of the shame and all of the embarrassment and all of the humiliation and all of the dirt and all of the ugliness, to see to the core of that young man, of that 23-year-old, and to say, I see the Shechina Shvuyah. I see the Shechina all over you. Now, the tzaddik wasn't saying that this person's job in life is finished. Therefore, the tzaddik kept up with him. But the tzaddik wanted him to know that I see the teferis, I see the beauty in your gvura. I see the beauty in your struggle. I see how you're trying. I see the beauty in the fight. I see that beauty. And that's where we were up to before Yontif. When we began learning from the Maimar HaGaula, I was very, very pleased. Three of the Chevra sent me messages that they were able to get the safe in Maimar HaGaula. This new edition of it in particular, they were able to get, and that they're learning it, and they're having tremendous, tremendous hanor from the limud. It's a very choshev limud. It's a limud that we need to learn now. It's Erev Yontif, Mashiach. It's now Mamish. It's Erev Yontif. And we have to learn the Maimar HaGaula from Ramchal. We were talking about how when the Rebbe Shlom took us out of Mitzrayim, v'yitzteinu Hashem Mitzrayim lo yidei malach, v'lo ayidei, v'lo yidei sarf, v'lo yidei shiliach, l'kash boruch b'chvayd v'atzma. The Rebbe Shlom himself took us out of Mitzrayim. We learned that the Arizal taught that in that reality of Mitzrayim, Erev Pesach, back then, we were in the Memtesh Shari Tuma. We were in a very, very bad place, the 49th level of impurity. And Amalek couldn't contend with such impurity. Amalek couldn't contend with such impurity, couldn't deal with that. And what we spoke about is how, after the Hakdamas that we had 2 weeks before that, learning a little bit, some Yisaitis from the Ari HaKadosh, about the Nitzaitis, the sparks, and the shattering of the vessels, the Shiris HaKelem of creation, and how there are neshamas, ashukais, neshamas that are tormented, that are suffering from the time of the chait of Adam Rishon. All of us are. But there are certain neshamas that are the most unbelievable agony and pain. Throughout history, the neshama of Mashiach himself, what he's been through. Lot and his daughters, and Tamar and Yehuda, David and Bathsheba, unspeakable suffering and difficulties that certain neshamas have been living with from the time of the chait of Adam Rishon and that collapse of Kedusha, that fall that we spoke about into the time of Rabbah. And we're learning that these neshamas, in particular, all the neshamas, especially at the end of time, but there are neshamas ashukas, neshamas that in particular are the highest and greatest neshamas that have been trapped in Tumah for a long time. And there are others who, during this time of the Pekida, as we're now Erev Mashiach, before Mashiach comes, in the generation of Ikrisa de Mashiach, of the end, there are neshamas who we saw Rab Tzadok HaKohen calls these neshamas Michelkai Shel Mashiach. These are Mashiach Dekiyin, like the Bacha that walked into this Tzadok, Michelkai Shel Mashiach, and others, not only that type of a person, they're a great Tzadikim also, but Michelkai Shel Mashiach, that these neshamas have such thick skin, that these are very, very remarkable and exalted neshamas that were sent and are being sent like tzanchanim, like paratroopers. Or the American Navy SEALs, Green Berets, whatever those Chinese are, of great heroic people who in their own lives experienced terrible, terrible nefilas into the time of Rabbah, like this young man in Eretz Yisrael. And from that place, from that terrible place that they're in the darkest, darkest place of Tohu Marabba, they are mekayim the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu himself at the end of the Torah, the nevuah of uvikashtem yishamas Hashem Elokecha, that even in a state of imiye nidachacha b'ktzeya shamayim, if you're a Jew who's mamish at the end, who feels that he's not able to, he doesn't know how he's going to hold on anymore to being a Jew. And from that terrible, terrible, horrible, low place that this Jew is in, he's uvikashta misham. Like the tzaddik asked this bacha in the story that we just heard. The tzaddik asked the bacha, are you still fighting? Do you still fight sometimes? And the bacha said, yes, Rabbi, I do. I'm not happy with this ma'aser that I'm in. And the tzaddik saw all the disguises falling away. And he cast them, misham, sashkem, lakach. Will be cast in Bisham, Tseh Shamai, the edge. The Moshem Tabakadish taught. Will be cast in Bisham as Hashem Lakach Umat Sasa, Kis Tidrishan, Chol of Avacha Vachamavshcha, because you're still seeking him. And when these Sanchanim, when these paratroopers have Hiruei Tshuva, these thoughts of return, on those days or those moments when they're fighting, not to look at that, not to look at that website, not to return to that corner or that dark alley. And Vikashta Misha, that somehow in a very deep and amazing, remarkable way, these Sanchanim are now liberating, they're freeing the Shomas Ashukas that have been waiting since creation. And through that, all of them can have a tremendous Aliyah. There's work that needs to get done. I'm not suggesting, and none of the Tzaddikim in their writings, especially the great Tzaddik of the end of time, Rav Kook, or the Lubavitch Rebbe, who saw such pureness and holiness and greatness in the neshamas and these souls, in the kid that didn't come to the Seder, like the Lubavitch Rebbe used to say. I want that kid that didn't come to the Seder. I want that kid that didn't come. It was those Tzaddikim who knew how to take a second look. They were not saying, like, and neither was the Beditshev saying, that everything is perfect and fine now. Of course, there needs to be tshuva. And Ashrei the tzaddikim of the Isaac, working like this tzaddik in the story that I told you with these young men and women, or older men and older women. I think I shared with you a story before Yom Tov. I was talking to one of the chaburas. I don't remember it was to this chabura of Yosef HaTzadik. But I told you that there was a Lubavitch shliach. This goes back a while. Sounds like it was like in maybe the 60s. It was a Lubavitch shliach from, I don't remember, it was Arkansas or Alabama. It was with an A, not Alaska, Arkansas, Alabama. And this shliach was in New York at the time by 770, by Eastern Parkway. And there was an urgent message that he got from one of his chevra back home in Arkansas. There was something very, very scary that was happening, sickness of that person's kid or something, I don't know. And this Lubavitch shliach went running. It was very, very late at night, and he went running to try to get in a kvittel, to somehow maybe to get into the Rebbe, to the Lubavitch Rebbe. I think I might have the nusach over here. Second, it's the mile of being home. Yeah, I have it here. Exactly what happened. So, no, it was Oklahoma. it wasn't Arkansas, and it wasn't Alabama. It was Oklahoma, which he spelled with an O. It's not Oklahoma. It's Oklahoma. So he was a shliach from Oklahoma. So he wrote, I dashed to 770, only to find that Rav Chodakov, that's why it goes back to the early 60s, maybe late 50s, early 60s, when Rav Chodakov was the Rebbe's secretary. So he said, I immediately dashed to 770, only to find that Rav Chodakov had already entered the Rebbe's room to close for the night. Now, this is probably 3 o'clock in the morning or something, the Rebbe used to finish. So Rav Chodakov had already gone in. That was it. Nobody was able to come anymore. No more yechidus. And the Rebbe's secretary was there to close for the night. Because the matter was burning, I stuck the letter between the Rebbe's door and the doorpost. I expected Rav Chodakov to notice it as he exited and give it to the Rebbe. So the shliach was hoping that Rav Chodakov would find the note when he was opening the door, because he put it over there, and that he would give it to the Rebbe, this kvittel. I stood outside and waited. Rav Chodakov opened the door, and the letter fell to the floor without him noticing. Rav Chodakov didn't see. He opened the door, and the note fell down, the kvittel fell down, and Rav Chodakov didn't notice. To my dismay, as I looked on, the Rebbe himself bent over and picked it up. I felt sick, the Shlich writes. How could I bother the Nasi Hador, the Tzaddik? How could I do this? So he ran away, and he ran away. And he wrote a letter to the Rebbe. You know, in those earlier years, it was much easier to communicate. So with the appropriate preparations, probably went to a mikveh and did a lot of stuff to get ready, I penned a letter to the Rebbe expressing my genuine remorse and asking forgiveness. This time, I handed in the letter directly through the secretariat. I gave it to one of the secretaries of the Rebbe. The Rebbe's written response was short in coming. Have remembered this. This was the Lubavitcher Rebbe wrote back to the Shliach. This is actually my entire mission, to lift up, especially that which has been overlooked by others. That was the letter. The Rebbe said to my whole metzias is to take a second look. My whole metzias in the world is to lift up those who have been overlooked. That's my whole metzias. Because the tzaddik is able to see tiferes shebegvur. He's able to see the beauty of the warriors that are fighting. The tzaddik is able to see the beauty of those Jews. And the war isn't over. It means that the tzaddik tries to bring them back. And that's our job. But what we're learning is that we first have to see the beauty of those Jews. And to know that they didn't just fall, but they were sent somehow in a very deep and mysterious way, that they were sent into the Tohem Meraba. They're on a mission. The kid that's just not going along with the program, well, you're looking at him not with the eyes of Tiferes Shebegvura, you're looking at him with the eyes just of Gvura Shebegvura, of Dinam, and you don't see the beauty of the Gvura of this Bocha that's trying. And because of that, the Bocha gives up hope. The way for the Bocha to come back is through the eyes of a father and a mother, a Rebbe and a friend, through the eyes of Tiferes Shebegvur, that say that I believe that the Shechina, I might not have the eyes of that Tzaddik or the Lubavitcher Rebbe's eyes, I might not see this. I might only see the exterior that's not so beautiful. But I believe with all of my heart, I believe in your beauty. And if I could see with my eyes like the Tzaddik saw, I would see it to the Shechina Shvi Alecha. I would see it to the Shechina's mamash all over you. And I would believe what the Tzaddikim revealed to us, the Zohar Kaddish, the Ariya Kaddish, and the Ramchal, and other Tzaddikim that, especially at the end of time, there are neshamas that were sent into this world to fight. And to somehow be those who would have the strength to go to places where other people, even Tzaddikim, can't go. Because the Gemara says in Brachas, and the Vlama Dalet, Bokim Shabbalat Shuvah Oimdim Tzaddikim Gemurim Einim Yechaylim La'amad. Tzaddikim are so able they can't go to certain places, just like a Malach, an angel, couldn't go to Egypt. The Malachim, the Tzaddikim, they can't go to those places. Whereas the Neshamas, there are Neshamas at the end of time in particular that are sent. As I spoke about a few weeks ago before Yotiv, like paratroopers and behind enemy lines to go and to rescue the remainder of our people. To go and to rescue the Sheiris HaPleita who've been waiting for so long for someone to come take them out. And the way that the Tzadchan, the paratrooper, rescues this neshama ashuka, this tormented soul, is from one tormented soul to another tormented soul. Tahaim el Tahaim. For one to reach out to the other by this person, by this paratrooper, from that place of impurity in his life, trying still to put on tefillin once in a while, to make a bracha, to open a gemara. To be in the Muhammad, to be in the fight. While swimming in the dirt of the Tahimarava. That is, however, that's Tiferes Shebegvura. We're not going to get to the Ramchal right now. I'm not going to start again, only to start next week again. But that is our mission. We're talking about paratroopers. We're talking about fighters. We're talking about Navy SEALs, Green Berets, all that stuff. We're talking about heroic people. So the heroism that Hashem is asking of us today, to Tiferesh Begur, the 10th day of the Omer, is to take a second look at our own children, at our own grandchildren, to take a second look at the Jews of our generation. It's easy to be like filled with compassion when it comes to Jews who are completely unaffiliated, you know, whatever, a former conservative or totally out of it, and, you know, Kiruv, and wanting our brothers and sisters to come back. All of that stuff is very, very sweet. It's very romantic. It sounds nice. But the biggest mission of our generation is not that. That's a chashuv thing. But the biggest, biggest mission is to take a second look at our own kids. To take a second look at the chevra in our generation. For Jews to take a second look at each other in such a way, Tiferes Shebegvura, and to see the Gibor Yafeh, the beautiful Gibor. To see somehow a trace of the Shechina upon that person's face. It's not only when it comes to Bochurim like this 23-year-old in the story that we began with today. It's in each other. It's the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva. It's Rabbi Akiva's students. To see in each other. To be able to look at Jews, even from Jews who are different than us. And to see the beauty in their Gevurah. Not just the 23-year-old who's off the deck. But to see the beauty in other Jews in their own personal fights. What they're going through. That's the avoid of this time of the year. And it's the avoid of our generation befret. So I'm sorry, I thought we were going to get to the Ramchal today. Bezat Hashem, we're going to begin the Ramchal next week. So hold on to your copies if you have, and make a copy of the Ramchal. You should also have Masar Mamaros and Ramah Mipanu. We're going to work on that next week, and then Mitzvah Shem, we're going to begin to spend a few weeks learning the halachas of this Indian of Kedushas Habris, Shemiras Habris. And then we're going to spend a couple of years on the Tikkunim of Yesod, which will include the long-awaited conversations of what exactly should I be telling my kid. Although I'm really trying to talk to you all the time about what we should be telling our kids. I'm just not laying out point by point. If I'd be more efficient and methodical, I would do that. And maybe I will one day. In the meantime, I miss each and every one of you. Some of you, I see your faces here coming. I don't know how this thing works. I would love to see everybody's face if it's shy. I don't know how to press, what button I should press to see that.